Right now, I mean, think about this. An autonomous AI agent can just navigate your chaotic desktop.
Oh, completely.
It can parse an inbox full of contradictory emails, cross-reference that information with a local spreadsheet.
And perfectly format a weekly report.
Exactly, while you go grab a cup of coffee. Yet that exact same underlying computational power completely stumbles when trying to predict how a single novel molecule will react inside the human liver.
It really is the ultimate paradox of modern technology, isn't it?
Right.
We have mastered the synthetic environments that we created ourselves,
Right.
but we are still fundamentally locked out of the biological environments that created us.
It's wild to think about. And hey, welcome to this custom-tailored deep dive. You are here because you want to stay sharply informed on the shifts happening across different industries.
You want the broader context.
Yeah, without drowning in all the noise, you want to understand the actual mechanisms behind the headlines. And today's stack of sources delivers exactly that.
We've got a really interesting pairing today.
We really do. We are pulling from two distinctly different newsletters, both dated May 2nd, 2026. First, we have Mindstream, which is focusing heavily on tech basics.
Right, they have a beginner's guide to using Anthropic's Claude Cowork.
Exactly. And then on the completely opposite end of the spectrum, we have Endpoints News.
Which is providing a weekly roundup of high-stakes biopharma developments.
Yeah, so looking at these two sources side by side offers this fascinating lens on computational limits.
It really does. One explores the mass adoption of automated software tools in, low-stakes administrative environments.
While the other tracks the excruciatingly slow, incredibly high-stakes progress of clinical oncology.
Right.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because at first glance, a beginner's guide to desktop software and the multi-billion-dollar pressure cooker of pharmaceutical pipelines, I mean, they seem entirely disconnected.
They seem like they belong in two different universes.
Exactly. But our mission today is to explore this massive contrast. We are looking at a wild spectrum of utility.
On one end, automating the deterministic daily routines of office work.
Yes. And on the other, attempting to force those exact same algorithms to solve non-deterministic, literal, life or death biological puzzles.
So let's examine the deterministic side first through the Mindstream newsletter.
Let's do it.
Their featured piece is an AI for Total Beginner's Guide, and it's dedicated to Claude Cowork.
Anthropic's desktop automation tool.
Right. For context, it is crucial to understand the mechanical shift this represents. We are no longer talking about a large language model housed in a web browser.
Where you just type in a prompt and get a block of text back?
Exactly. That era is over.
I really want to break down how that actually works under the hood because, the phrase desktop automation sounds like something we've had for years.
Like basic
Yeah,
macros.
macros. But Claude Cowork isn't just executing a pre-programmed loop of clicks, right?
No, not at all. It's actually interpreting the graphical user interface.
Okay, so my understanding is that it's using computer vision to parse the pixels on your screen.
Yes, it is literally looking at the screen.
Mapping out the interactive elements like the buttons, the text fields, the scroll bars.
And then executing programmatic commands to interact with that operating system dynamically.
Wow.
What's fascinating here is the psychological shift this requires from the user, which, by the way, explains why a publication like Mindstream is aggressively pushing a beginner's guide right now.
Because it's a totally new way of working.
Precisely. The interface paradigm has fundamentally evolved. Previously, AI was an oracle you consulted.
Right, you went to a specific URL, asked a question, and copy-pasted the answer.
Yeah. But the jump to OS-level automation turns the AI from a consultant into a proxy.
A proxy,
It
okay.
takes over the mouse and keyboard
Yeah.
inputs. You aren't asking it for information anymore. You are delegating an execution
It's
sequence.
like finally getting a highly competent digital intern who physically sits at your desk.
That is the perfect analogy.
You just say, take the invoices from yesterday's email thread. Cross-check them against the Q3 budget PDF in my downloads folder and flag any discrepancies in our accounting software.
And it just does it. But to do that, the AI has to bridge the gap from understanding natural language to manipulating disparate pieces of software.
Software that was built exclusively for human hands and human eyes.
Exactly. And the reason this adoption curve is so steep, and why these beginner guides are ubiquitous right now, is the immediate economic deficit you face if you ignore it.
Oh, for sure. You'd be left behind instantly.
Right. If your counterpart at a competing firm is utilizing a localized agent to synthesize their morning data flows, they are reclaiming what, maybe 2 or 3 hours of cognitive bandwidth every single day.
Yeah, that's massive.
So the beginner's guide isn't about learning a fun new tech trick. It's a manual for basic professional survival.
You cannot compete with someone who has effectively outsourced their administrative drag to an OS native algorithm.
You really can't.
I want you to take a second and evaluate your own daily routine. Look at the first 2 hours of your workday. How much of that time is purely logistical?
Probably a lot more than you think.
Right. Moving information from box A to box B, reformatting data, scheduling, organizing.
It's tedious.
We are at the threshold where handing over that logistical drag to an automated tool isn't some futuristic concept. It's just a software update you download on a Tuesday.
We have essentially perfected the art of navigating our digital desktops. The environment is entirely constructed of human-made rules.
So a computational engine can eventually map and master every possible pathway.
Exactly. It's a closed system.
But what happens when we take that exact same computational ambition and force it into an environment where the rules aren't written in binary code?
Where things get messy.
Yeah. An environment that didn't come with an instruction manual.
Yeah.
And that brings us to Bristol-Myers Squibb and the Endpoints News Biopharma Roundup.
We are moving from the perfectly controlled sandbox of an operating system to the chaotic reality of human biology.
It's a huge pivot. So Endpoints leads their weekly coverage by framing this as a make or break and pivotal year for BMS.
Bristol-Myers Squibb.
Right. They are heavily highlighting the upcoming pipeline data readouts scheduled for ASCO 2026 and beyond.
The American Society of Clinical Oncology Conference.
Yeah. We are talking about billions of dollars in enterprise value hinging entirely on whether a few specific molecular compounds met their clinical endpoints.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you really have to appreciate the sheer, terrifying gravity of that operational model.
Terrifying is the right word.
ASCO is where billions of dollars of R&D capital are essentially put on trial in front of the global scientific community.
Wow.
A company the size of Bristol-Myers Squibb has a pipeline of experimental therapies, but a pipeline is not a conveyor belt.
What do you mean by that?
I prefer to view it as a biological cryptographic puzzle, where passing one phase just unlocks a vastly more complex variable in the next.
Okay, let's map out that puzzle, because I think this is crucial. You start with thousands of potential compounds in a lab.
Right.
You move to animal models, which, you know, might show promise. But the leap from a controlled in vitro environment to the systemic complexity of a human body, that is where the cliff drops off.
There's a massive cliff.
Yeah. Phase one trials just prove the compound doesn't have catastrophic toxicity.
Basically, that it won't hurt you immediately.
Right. Phase two proves it might actually do something therapeutically. And then phase three has to prove it does that thing better than the current standard of care across a massive genetically diverse human population.
And at any point in that decade-long journey, an unforeseen variable can destroy the entire project.
A whole decade of work gone.
Yep. The drug might bind to the target receptor perfectly, but accidentally trigger an immune cascade in, say, 5% of the trial participants.
Or it metabolizes too quickly in the liver.
Exactly. Hmm? When Endpoints describes a pivotal year, it means a critical mass of those surviving compounds, the ones that have somehow navigated that 10-year cryptographic puzzle, yeah, are finally revealing their phase three statistical significance.
Okay, I want to push back on this reliance on the traditional pipeline timeline for a second.
Go for it.
If a multinational giant like BMS is staking its survival, or at least its valuation for the next decade, on readouts that took 10 years and billions of dollars to generate, aren't they incredibly vulnerable?
Very much so.
How can an entire global industry sustain itself on a model where the feedback loop is a decade long? Doesn't this leave them massively exposed to new competitors who might figure out how to simulate these biological interactions computationally in half the time?
They are entirely vulnerable. And believe me, the industry is acutely aware of it.
I would hope so.
But the 10-year feedback loop is a byproduct of biological reality. You cannot beta test an oncology drug the way Anthropic beta tests Claude Cowork. If a desktop automation agent hallucinates and deletes a spreadsheet, you just restore from a backup.
No harm done.
Right. But if a novel biologic behaves unpredictably in a phase three trial, patients face severe, irreversible harm. And the regulatory bodies shut the program down entirely.
So the timeline is literally written in blood.
The excruciating timeline is a function of the safety protocols required when dealing with a system we do not fully understand.
Which perfectly sets up the final piece of our source material today.
Yes.
Because that vulnerability, the agonizing slowness of the biological feedback loop, is exactly where the tech world is trying to inject itself.
The disruption angle.
Exactly. Endpoints News features a dedicated analysis piece debating this exact tension, titled, Should AI Be Swinging Bigger in Drug Discovery?
This is the focal point where the two newsletters collide.
It really is.
The tech industry, armed with these incredibly powerful new models, is looking at the pharmaceutical industry's 10-year pipeline and seeing massive inefficiency.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because the Endpoints article debates whether AI drug discovery is moving fast enough given the state of the science.
Right.
Look at the contrast we've built today. On one hand, we are training vast neural networks to organize our email folders and update our calendars.
It feels almost trivial when you say it like that.
It does. Are we distracted by the shiny, easily solved problems? Should we be aggressively, singularly directing this computational power to simulate those phase 3 clinical trials?
It's a fair question.
If we have the most powerful pattern recognition engines in human history, why are we wasting them on formatting cells in a spreadsheet instead of predicting off-target liver toxicity?
Well, this raises an important question about the fundamental nature of the data we are feeding these models.
Okay, unpack that.
The endpoints analysis highlights the chasm between the tech sector's ambition and the actual state of biological science. It is not a lack of ambition that keeps AI focused on the desktop.
Then what is it?
It is the fact that the desktop operates on clean data.
Ah, let's define the difference between clean data and messy data in this context, because I think that's the core of the whole issue.
Clean data is human-made.
Right.
Language, code, operating systems, these are constructs designed by humans for humans.
Yeah.
Following strict logical rules.
It's a closed system.
Exactly. Language has a finite alphabet and grammatical structures. A large language model simply has to predict the most statistically probable next token in a sequence. It is a closed system of logic.
So when Claude Cowork is navigating my screen, it's operating in a perfectly deterministic environment.
Yes.
If it clicks the save button, the exact same programmatic event happens 100% of the time.
Exactly. Now compare that to biology.
Right.
Human biology is an emergent, non-deterministic system forged by billions of years of chaotic evolution.
It's messy.
Very. It was not designed to be readable. It was designed to survive. We don't even know all the rules of the game yet.
That's a great way to put it.
When you introduce a novel molecule into the human bloodstream, it interacts with thousands of proteins, cellular pathways, and genetic variables that change dynamically based on the patient's age, diet, stress levels, and even their microbiome.
So you are moving from predicting the next word in a sentence to predicting the real-time three-dimensional folding of a protein as it interacts with a mutated cancer cell inside a living organism.
Yes. That is the messy data.
Wow.
So when Endpoints asks if AI should be swinging bigger, the friction comes from the underlying science.
The tech companies say, give us the data, and we will build an algorithm to predict the trial outcomes.
And the biopharma companies reply, we don't have the data.
Right.
The only way to get the data on how this specific molecule behaves in a human body is to actually put it in a human body and wait.
We can't simulate what we don't fundamentally understand.
Precisely.
If we haven't mapped the actual physics of all these biological interactions, an AI can't just hallucinate a cure.
No, it can't.
It needs massive, highly structured data sets of biological interactions, genetic sequences, and clinical outcomes.
And gathering that kind of robust biological data requires running physical experiments.
In the real world.
Yes.
Yeah.
It requires pipetting liquids in labs, running assays, and yes, conducting those slow, heavily regulated clinical trials.
You cannot bypass the physical validation stage with pure computation.
Not yet, anyway. The models can help narrow the initial funnel. Perhaps they can identify 50 promising compounds instead of 5,000.
We're so full.
But they cannot replace the decade-long trial process that BMS is relying on for ASCO 2026.
It really recontextualizes the whole concept of technological progress.
It does. We are easily seduced by the visible momentum of software.
Because it moves so fast. But I want to bring this reflection directly to you, listening to this deep dive.
Think about your own industry.
Yeah. When you evaluate the tools entering your field, ask yourself, are the integrations truly swinging big?
Are you applying these systems to fundamentally restructure how you solve complex non-deterministic problems?
Or are you just optimizing the logistics? because it is incredibly easy to mistake administrative efficiency for actual paradigm-shifting innovation.
Oh, absolutely. The dopamine hit of watching an autonomous agent clear out your inbox is powerful.
It feels great.
It creates the illusion of profound productivity, masking the reality that the core, complex challenges of your industry remain entirely untouched.
So what does this all mean? Let's recap. We started by unpacking a Mindstream newsletter detailing the shift toward OS-level automation with Anthropic's Claude Cowork.
Right, the move from Oracle to proxy.
We broke down how computer vision and programmatic execution are turning AI from a conversational novelty into an embedded administrative proxy. Then we shifted into the high-stakes reality of the biopharma industry via Endpoints News.
Looking at Bristol-Myers Squibb's heavy reliance on a decade's worth of clinical pipeline data converging at ASCO 2026.
And finally, we explored the collision of these two realities, the fierce debate over whether AI can overcome the messy, non-deterministic data of human biology to actually revolutionize drug discovery.
The synthesis of these sources reveals that we are operating in a profound split-screen era.
Split-screen. I like that.
On one side of the screen, computation is rapidly becoming the invisible, perfectly optimized infrastructure of our daily administrative chores. We are conquering the deterministic digital world.
And on the other side of the screen,
computation is facing intense, humbling scrutiny as it crashes against the chaotic, life-saving science of drug discovery. We are simultaneously mastering the trivial and struggling immensely with the existential.
That is perfectly said. We expect the upgrade to be immediate. We want the software update that just magically fixes the problem.
Because we get that instant gratification with our desktop agents.
Right. But the real upgrade, the algorithmic breakthroughs that will fundamentally change the paradigm of human health, is invisible.
It's incredibly slow.
It's agonizingly expensive, and it's happening deep within the messy, unpredictable data of those clinical pipelines.
It demands a level of patience and scientific rigor that the consumer tech world is historically unequipped to handle.
I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over today as you get back to your routine.
Something to chew on.
If localized AI agents eventually master every logistical administrative task we have,
if the scheduling, the inbox management, all drops to zero friction,
will human focus naturally redirect towards solving those massive, complex scientific challenges?
That's the hope.
Or, stripped of our daily logistical drag, will we simply invent entirely new layers of administrative busy work to fill the vacuum?
The ultimate bottleneck might not be computational power, but human nature's tolerance for complex, slow-moving problems.
Keep questioning the tools you adopt, keep pushing for the bigger swings in your own field, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.